As we begin to settle back down into our seats and get ready to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I was just informed that we're going to be forming a meal train for Amber Harris. That's Kylie and Brandon's mom, little Brandon. And we encourage you to see Cassidy Taylor. Where'd she run off to? She's here somewhere, our office manager, and she will, oh, right there, there she is, and she will get you signed up. We're going to have a meal train going for them as we just prayed for Amber. She is dealing with congestive heart failure right now and breathing issues because of that. And I also know that she's needing, there's a way that we could possibly serve them by providing Brandon and Kylie rides to school. And so if you'd be willing to do that during this season of their life, please, you know, see Cassidy as well for that. And that way we can get you signed up and we can get that all figured out. And so it is wonderful to be God's family and to be a part of the family of God. Now, as we continue to settle in our seats, before we do this whole Bible thing, I'm going to take some time so you guys can get settled in, and I'm going to go through one of my mini Christmas checklists. Boy, I love the Christmas season. Don't you just find peace in it all? Make the list, check it twice. Make sure you don't forget that one person's gift again this year. I'm probably going to have to tell them that Amazon had it back ordered again. Oh, someone's calling me. Put that on silent. Do not disturb. And, oh, gosh, I got to scour Amazon to the wee hours of the morning again to find those perfect Christmas gifts. How many different Lego sets are there? Oh, they gift wrap. That'll save me a lot of time. I may actually be able to participate in this year's Christmas program at church. Or go to the Christmas parade. Oh, wait, that happened 2 weeks ago. Oh, I forgot to hang the other Christmas lights again. You know, I hung the Christmas lights that we hang every year and those special ones that we hang every once in a while when we have time, but I still have all those tangled up ones that I say I'll hang every year, but I never do. Oh, gosh, look at my calendar. How can there be so many parties, gatherings, and events? Another call. I thought I silenced that. Christmas cards. Where's Jeanette? We forgot to get pictures for the Christmas cards again this year. Maybe next year I'll have to cross that one off the list. Who boxed up these lights anyways? Do they even know how to use a cable tie? Another phone call. Oh, gosh, 20 missed text messages. Eddie Exeter wants to have a Christmas gathering next week. He's telling me now? I mean, doesn't he know that everyone has their Christmas calendars all booked out in August when Hobby Lobby breaks out their Christmas decor? I need to make sure to add to my list that next year I need to find a way to make everyone happy. Maybe I can get one of those new robot things and dress it up like me and send him in my place to all these different gatherings. Pack for Arizona. Oh, gosh. Pack for Arizona. When am I going to have time to do that? Another phone call. Danny, stop calling me. Oh, gosh, I still have to make cookies, get a holiday outfit for the dog. I have to find a place to set up our nativity still. Once I find Balthazar's head at one of our wise men, it broke off last year when he was ziplining from the tree into the stable with the elf on the shelf. Oh, gosh, I got to add that to my list. Elf on a shelf. I need to find more places for him to go so that I can look like a good parent on Instagram. Is that what I think it is? The kids missed the last 3 days of their advent calendar, which means chocolate! Sugar rush! Who keeps calling me? Oh, gosh. Don't you find Advent and Christmas just so exhausting? All the chaos, all the hustle and bustle that we experience, the disorder. I thought this was supposed to be a season of peace. I thought this was supposed to be a season where we could celebrate in peace. But all too often, we seek for that peace in all the wrong places and in all the wrong people. Because the reality is, another package under the tree, another event to attend, Another card to send is not going to bring you the peace you seek. You know, it's interesting whenever in 1987, I believe it was, they wrote a song called The 12 Pains of Christmas. And if you listen to that song, you realize that every single one of them are self-inflicted. So often the chaos and disorder we experience every Advent and Christmas season is self-afflicted. But I digress with all of this to get to the point. There, I think, would be few who could say that is not what they experience. Because we have all these human-made traditions, rituals, and activities upon activities that we seemingly think every year we have to add to make Christmas just even more special, even more special, even more just exciting. But the reality is, the very first Christmas was exciting enough. The very first coming of Jesus. When we had this wonderful thing proclaimed to us by Jesus in John 14, 27, because of his coming, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace that the Apostle Paul would say this about, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound great? Are you looking for that kind of peace in your life? I know I am, always. And boy, let me tell you, once again, one more box under the tree, one more family trip to plan to attend, one more Christmas gathering will never bring you the peace that Jesus brings. Nothing is wrong with those things. They're all wonderful. But when you seek to find your peace in those things, you'll find that it always falls short. It always falls short of the peace that Jesus brings. Because the peace Jesus brings, once again, is not as the world brings to us. And I know I've said these quotes each and every Advent because it's so pivotal. Just like joy, understanding that joy is a choice, so is peace. Peace is a choice that we each have to make each and every day. That peace, the peace that Jesus brings, is not as the world sees it, a state of tranquility or quiet. Good luck in this day and age. Such as freedom from civil disturbance, a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom. That's Merriam-Webster. And once again, it's just that's not the peace the Word of God provides. Even in this time, between times, where tranquility and quiet seem like an impossibility, there can be peace this Advent season of waiting. And it reminds us each and every year the true peace that Jesus brings, found in another definition by the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In the throes of the Second World War, who refused to allow his faith to be compromised with the rise and takeover of the Nazi Party over the majority of the church in Germany, he writes this: "There is no way to peace along this way of safety. For peace must be dared. It is the great venture. It can never be made safe. Peace is the opposite of security. Peace means to give oneself altogether to the law of God. Battles are won not with weapons, but with God. They are won where the way leads to the cross." In this, I would also add, when he says peace must be dared, peace must be chosen. Just like joy. Because it's not a fleeting emotion. Peace is not an emotion, but it's an action that we choose to live out each and every day in the midst of all the disarray of this world. Knowing fully that peace is here, but not yet. As we live in a time between times, and we wait for the ultimate coming of the Prince of Peace, who came long ago and is still yet to come. And we wait in a time between times that seems rather chaotic by our own design. Therefore, at this time, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the prophet Micah. Micah, a prophetic word few ever turn to. In fact, some of the pages in your Bible that Micah is on might stick together because they haven't been opened in such a long time. He is among one of the 12 minor prophets. He lays behind Jonah and comes before Nahum. He is considered a minor prophet, not because what he has to say is minor, but because his content was shorter than that of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, the major prophets. In fact, all the minor prophets are not minor in what they have to say. In fact, they have to say some of the very same things that Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel have to say. They're just straight to the point and concise. In fact, many of them prophesied during the same time as those. Micah prophesied during the same time as Isaiah, actually. Isaiah, the prophet that we looked at last week, in learning how we can discover joy and we can truly wait with joy despite our circumstances. Micah is no different. And Micah gives us another word, and it's a word of peace. And we find this in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. Knowing that in times, between times, there can be peace, and knowing that peace is coming. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into the land and treads in our palaces, then we will rise against him, seven shepherds and eight princes of men. Micah, a prophet during the same time as Isaiah, brings this message of peace. Peace that is for the taking. Peace that can be chosen in the midst of a very tumultuous and chaotic situation. If we remember last week when we talked about Isaiah and what was going on in Isaiah's day, it's the same thing that's going on in Micah's day. The Assyrians are coming. And there seems to be no stopping them. They're taking nation after nation. They're overthrowing king after king. Looming destruction is upon them. Looming destruction that Micah prophesies is none other than the hand of God because of Israel's disobedience, because of their sin. In fact, in Micah chapter 3, verse 9 through 12, we see this. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads give judgment for a bride. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. The Assyrians were coming. Micah's message is no different than Isaiah's. It's a message of destruction. But just like Isaiah shows us how we can have joy in the midst of the chaos, Micah shows us where there's peace. That even though it says that he shall give them up until the time when she is in labor, this is a messianic word, a messianic prophecy, that even though the Assyrians will come, the kingdom will fall, the Prince of Peace is coming, and he will be their peace. Micah and Isaiah's messages are very similar, but they come from very different perspectives, though. For example, Isaiah was from the big city. He was from Jerusalem, and he worked with among the nation's elite. On the other hand, Micah was from a small, tiny town about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, a town known as Morasheth. When he came to Jerusalem to speak to God's word, he came from the countryside. And unlike Isaiah, who would have been considered a more civilized person in the city, Micah would have appeared as a country bumpkin. And we see that this is where Micah comes from in the very first verse of his prophecy. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw come concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." And there's something very important about this that we cannot let escape us this morning. Significant information regarding Micah's message of peace amid a very hostile time on the place that he's in, or from, sorry. He was from Moresheth. And you may have never thought about this. You may have never thought about this town at all, this small country town in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't, though. It was in what was called the Shephelah. And the Shephelah was a region between Israel and the Philistines. It was a region, a hilly region, and that Israel and the Philistines would often meet for battle. And Moresheth is right on that edge. It's also on what is called the coastal highway to the south. It was a location that King Rehoboam just wisely decided to fortify amongst many other towns and cities. And like just like Moresheth, he fortifies these towns to act as a buffer between Jerusalem and those from the south and those from the north. The Egyptians from the south, the Assyrians from the north, these towns provided a warning post that if an attacker would be coming down the road, if another army would be coming, that there would be time to warn Jerusalem, to give the king time to make his fortifications along that coastal highway that was easy to walk and easy to go, because that's the way that the armies would travel. And we see, actually, that Rehoboam does this in 2 Chronicles 11:6-12. He built Bethlehem, Edom, Tekoa, Beth-zur, Sukkah, Adullam, Gath, Mereshaah. Now, Mereshaah is Moresheth. It's the same place. Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, fortified cities that are in Judah and in Benjamin. He made the fortress strong and put commanders in them, and stores of food, oil, and wine. And he put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So he held Judah and Benjamin. These were critical strategic cities for the kingdom. In fact, when a messenger would come from Moresheth, it normally was to tell Jerusalem the enemy's coming. They were normally to bring messages of war. You didn't see messengers come to say, peace, everything's all good, because they didn't need to come if everything was all good. When a messenger came from Moresheth, it was a message of war. Where's Micah from? Where is he from? And he's coming to Jerusalem. And he does give them a message of destruction, looming destruction, but it's not without peace. It is not without peace. He comes with a message of peace, though, in the midst of the destruction. And we cannot miss the irony of this. You see, there were many at that time that proclaimed peace, that would say, peace, peace, as the prophet Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 8:11, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, once again, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Many pseudo-prophets, false prophets in this time, would just tell people what they wanted to hear. Much like the condemnation we saw in Micah earlier, you know, they were prophesying for a price. As long as the penny was good enough, boy, blessings upon blessings would come. They would speak so much peace and blessings. Micah is not different. His prophecy is not contingent upon how full his pocket is. He speaks the hard truth, unfiltered, but with the wonderful promise. A wonderful promise that we have in the midst of our hard truths of this life. That even though chaos would seem to reign supreme today, peace is coming as the Prince of Peace is coming again. However, in Micah's day, if the money was right, they would just tell people whatever they wanted to hear. And we're really not that different in our day and age, are we? In fact, we have internet memes like this one that I found a while ago. And boy, isn't it the truth? When we have images like this, we see a very scary commentary of our culture. You know, Paul warned about this in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Just like these false messengers who brought peace were false messages about peace are also false. Micah was a true prophet, and he would not be bought. He knew the place he came from, and he knew the message he was bringing was one of war, one of destruction, swift destruction brought about by the very hand of God. But yet he said, those who wait will find peace because the Messiah will come and he will bring peace. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He brings peace. He brings us to a place of peace. We can find true peace that surpasses all understanding, that's not contingent on anything other than the fact that we have Jesus. There's no contingency in that. It's freely given. And that even though we're in this time between times, the first and second coming of Christ, we can be at peace knowing that no matter how disarray the world appears around us, the Prince of Peace is coming again, and he's going to set all the record straight. The prophecy Micah received from the Lord is rooted in a person, much like our peace is rooted in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. The destruction was coming, but after the destruction, the Messiah would come. They had to just turn to the Lord and wait. This peace that surpasses all expectations and is not as the world would simply give peace, as in the absence of conflict, but a deep peace that comes from the ultimate giver of peace. Real peace that is even available to us today if we but just turn to the Lord. The sad thing is, it's much like the people in Micah's day, we're very much the same. We seem to ensue the chaos in our lives, keep bringing the chaos. We seem to choose the chaos instead of the peace. If we would but just wait for the peace, knowing good and well this is not how things will always be. Though chaos may rule today, Jesus is coming. Wars rage around the world. Political alliances determine much. The breakneck pace of our society is a commentary of our lives and how we all yearn for just that moment of rest. We all yearn for that gift of peace. But yet we just keep seeking it in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. We think in it. We seek peace in political leaders. I mean, if you don't believe that, think about how much disruption this last presidential election caused in our culture. It's because they're putting their peace in a man or a woman. They're not putting their peace in the man, Jesus, the ultimate Lamb of God who comes to us, God with us, to let us know that though it is chaotic today, there is peace to come. And we can have that peace in the waiting, a foretaste of the fullness of peace that he is going to be bringing as the Prince of Peace when he comes again to finish what he started. Yet like those who waited before, we all too often choose to allow ourselves to be carried away by the riptide of the chaos and disorder of our society. Why is this? Why would we not choose peace? And Micah shows us how we can choose peace and who peace is found in, because he says, and he Jesus shall be their peace. He is our peace. There is no other peace to be had in this world other than the peace that he brings. How then do we choose peace? How then do we make it a habit every moment of every day to choose to be at peace? Well, first and foremost, we live out the spiritual habits that we've been discussing this whole last year. We live out those spiritual disciplines of prayer, of contemplation, of study, of silence and solitude. Because there is great peace to be found in Jesus when we separate ourselves from everything but him. And in that, fasting, all of these things are helpful to refocus us to what is true and good. To refocus us to the true giver of peace, which is the key to what Paul proclaims, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We got to look at this in context. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is where Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Just like that great hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm so sorry I subjected you to that. That wasn't a very peaceful sound. But I want you to know it was a joyful noise, though, to the Lord. Knowing good and well that one more thing under our tree, one more family gathering, one more activity or tradition added will never bring us the peace Jesus brings. Furthermore, if you wish to choose peace, being a person of peace is a great way to start. Well, how do we be a person of peace? Not only do we find a way of looking to Jesus, focusing our lives on Christ so that we can be at peace, we share that peace with others. And in that, one thing we do is forgive. We walk in a life of sacrificial forgiveness just like Christ. And when you walk in a life of sacrificial forgiveness, you walk in a life of radical reconciliation. And you become this person that just exudes the peace of the Lord to others around you. Is there someone in your sphere of influence, your life, someone in your family that you need to forgive this year? That you need to let them know, I no longer harbor this resentment. I no longer harbor the sin against you. I've given it over to the Lord. I forgive you. Not only are you going to find great peace in that, because all that bitterness and anger that you are holding within your heart will be released. It will be given over and it will be away and gone. You'll find peace in that. That person will find peace. And who knows? The Lord can work out mighty things when we give our hearts to him, and reconciliation can take the day. Furthermore, if you'd like to choose peace, there is peace that comes from service and generosity towards others, which is an amazing way to find the hope, joy, peace, and love that Jesus brings, by serving and sharing the blessing God has given you with others. In fact, that's what he created us to do. That's the call of Abraham. I'm going to bless you, and through you, the whole world will be blessed. And that is exactly what we're supposed to be as God's church. We carry on that same promise, that covenant promise of Abraham, to be a vessel of God's blessings. And in this, we can find how to be a person who creates peace. And we got to remember what Jesus says in Matthew 5:9, those beautiful, blessed attitudes of those who choose to be his kingdom people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Would we but be a people who would choose peace? Peace in a world that screams disarray, disorder. Peace when chaos would seem to reign supreme, knowing good and well the Prince of Peace is coming. And we can have peace while we wait, much like they could have peace while they waited in their day when Micah brought a word of destruction. Got peace? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever.